each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi everybody, and welcome to GIF. Thank God it's Friday, and
yay.
And the winds have changed. It's so true, you know?
Yeah.
I tell you, I've got the... and maybe I mentioned it. Yeah, I don't know if we talked about this yesterday, but just the title says everything. Enthusiasm for abortion is from the depths of hell.
No,
from the depths of hell. It just it's you know, there's a group, I forgot what they call this group. I don't remember the name, but they're calling for. To disrupt the masses on Sunday in the Catholic churches. Do you hear about that?
Yeah, I've heard this.
Yeah.
This is just ridiculous. I mean, aside from the fact that, well, I really don't, I don't know how to say it. I don't want to get into it because it's amazing how this is a situation where it's activism. That's what it is, because people don't understand that the issue.
Right.
There are very few that I think really, really, really understand the issue.
But it just it's this I get the quote from what's his name, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
Our daughters, sisters, mothers, and grandmothers will not be silenced. The world is about to hear their fury. California will not sit back. We're gonna fight like hell. Governor Kathy Hochul,
mm-hmm.
New York. New York will always be a place where abortion rights are protected, just as the Statue of Liberty lifts her lamp tall in our harbor. New York will never stop fighting for its right, unafraid and undeterred. And again, and she says, I refuse to let my new granddaughter have to fight for the rights that generations have fought for and won, rights that she should be guaranteed. For anyone who needs access to care, our state will welcome you with open arms. Abortion will always be safe and accessible in New York. The title, this is a little article by Catherine Lopez from the National Review. I just happened to see it yesterday, I guess. But just the title, and this is what is disturbing. It's this enthusiasm for abortion is from the depths of hell. The title of the article or the commentary. But we're going to pray because and I kind of want to go into something else. But it's just that what's very disturbing to me is we're talking about the life of a child conceived. And I mean, today we had the crowning of the Blessed Virgin Mary here at the church. The students had the crowning of the Blessed Mother. This is a month of, and here Mother's Day is right 2 days away.
I just realized we're in May. May is the month of Mary.
It's just the month of Mary, month of the mother. And
isn't it interesting how this all happens? You know, when you sit back and you say, wow, look at how this is happening at this time.
Yeah.
Do we not, what we do here, pay attention to the signs of the times?
Do we not? I talked to the young people last night through a meeting here at the parish, and so after Mass, I had had confessions, and then I came into the rectory, and they were having their meeting, and so I just, you know, going to pop in and say hi. And, you know, as we were talking yesterday about, you know, it's just the, we've got to lean into the light. We got to see the good. And this is a possible good if this this Roe versus Wade is in fact going to be overturned and leave it.
Wonder, Father, really, is it really going to be good? Because think about this. You're not saying there'll be no more abortions. What you're saying is you put it in the hands of the states. So there's still going to be states that are going to say, hey, we want to do this.
But the people, as I read, the majority of people understand that conception is
life. See, that's where it has to come.
This is a good, the good here is that it's put back into the hands of the people, isn't it?
It should.
In their state.
Again, we're still going to have, and call me Tony the pessimist, and I will tell you I am. But until people really understand, and I feel angry even saying this because I have to state like I state whenever I get into these conversations with people, I am not a woman. I do not know what it's like. I can't speak. And everybody, the next thing they want to say is, well, if somebody's raped, is it? You know, it's not that. We're looking at, this is a child in the womb. Okay, and you can't tell me. There's no way if it comes out tomorrow that this is, you know, it's not. How do you tell me that this is not a child and that you are not killing this child?
But that's the diabolical dimension of this. Is that we're talking about a life, and that there would be this, as the title says, enthusiasm for abortion is from the depths of hell. That we've got to no regard for the fact that this is a life. Let's pray.
We need to pray.
And then I want to go into this. We got Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. I just want to share a little bit about. Let's pray. And I apologize. This is just the way I said since I got back last week. It's been. This is the busiest time of the year in a parish. I don't know if people realize this, and I probably said it before. I probably say it every year, and I have to keep reminding myself. We're in that time of year. So we had Holy Week, we had Easter Week, Divine Mercy Sunday. So this is a big celebration. People think Holy Week is a very intense, a very busy, very beautiful, beautiful week as we went through the. It's hard to believe that it's been
done.
We're still in the Easter season, right, but the fact that it's already
it's passed.
But it's after that. So during Holy Week, everybody tends to be basically, you know, you've got the space to prepare and to work and to enter into the commemoration of the Triduum. So there's a natural space that is created for that. So you're unencumbered, in a sense. You can focus. After Easter, then everything goes back to normal in the sense that now we're preparing. We've got Holy Communions. We've already done one. We've got two more. We have confirmations coming week. These are all beautiful things. Don't get me wrong. These are the sacraments, but
it's a lot of work.
But it's a lot that goes into. We're coming to the end of the school year. We've got this is a season for weddings and for graduation. All these, and then but life goes on. You see, life nothing changes. There are when there's. And I always say I like these little holidays like Memorial Day, Labor Day. Thanksgiving Day, because they're technically not religious holidays, so everything kind of comes to a standstill. In a sense, we can at least come to a standstill when it comes to the major holy days like Christmas and these are beautiful days. No, right. I don't get me wrong. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, we love the seasons, but it's just to have a little bit of rest. It's Labor Day, mm-hmm. Memorial Day, July 4th,
right.
Because technically they're not religious holidays, and so they're for a priest at least. You know, these right. are because they're secular holidays. It's nice. I use those as days for mm-hmm. retreat. You know, basically right. for retreat. But anyway, I'm just rambling as I as I do best. But it's just we're running from one thing to the next, and it just seems like there's fires burning all over the place. And you put this fire out, there's another fire that's got to go out, and then there's another one that's going to erupt over here, and it's crazy. But it's not just everybody seems to be going through it. I hear this from everybody. People are really, really stressed about a lot of things. And I mentioned I went in to see to talk to the young, just to pop in and say hi to the young adults. These are people in their 20s and 30s. And again, thinking, I got to really be positive and, you know, not let's not focus on the negative stuff, but they brought it to me, you know, and the point is that, you know, the world, what's going on? It just feels like there's evil everywhere. They're telling that to me, you know. They feel like there's evil everywhere. You know, it's like, and they were saying, you know, and I really feel for them, you know, in a sense. And I said, I'd like to be 30 years old and really be in the battle and really get into the fight. We're in the fight, aren't we? And it is a fight. It is a battle. Speaking of the Blessed Virgin Mary, this morning as we were crowning her, I was telling the children, you know, sharing about the from the Book of Revelation, the heavens open and the ark appears, and the mm-hmm. woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars, and the dragon, the serpent, Satan, he's finally named, awakens and waits for the birth, because she's with child, and waits for the birth of the child to go and devour, to destroy the child. He escapes. All this is allegorical language. It's a cryptic language, you know, but it's telling a story. And anyway, he escapes. Once he's put to death, he's crucified, he dies, but he rises from the dead. Once he's passed through the door of death, Satan has no power over him. So he goes after the woman. And the woman represents, in a singular way, the Blessed Virgin Mary. In a broader sense, it represents Holy Mother Church, the Church. And so he goes after her to destroy her. Well, again, she passes away. She passes out of this life into eternal life. Satan has no power over her. So the scripture is very pointed about the fact that. So he goes to the shore of the sea. He waits for her children, to wage war on them. And who are her children? But those who give witness to Jesus, and keep the commandments of God. And so so even as I was speaking to the young people yesterday, as I spoke to the kids this morning, the students, life, it is a spiritual battle, and we're not in Kansas anymore, you know, as they say, right? It's things have changed. The world is rapidly changing, and we're experiencing the collapse of a civilization. And when you going back to the whole, this enthusiasm for abortion is from the depths of hell, to see that kind of, we talked about that yesterday, the anger, really basically calling for war. Mm-hmm. This is a calling for war. This is a war, in defense of women. A war that allows for the extermination of children conceived in the womb of their mothers. And again, how does that conception happen? You know, so who's going to take responsibility? You know, if two people, the people throw out the extreme situations, you know, and there are very difficult situations, you know, people, women who are in very, but I've seen many women in really, really difficult situations, very difficult pregnancies. We had two, just not too long ago, recently, where they knew the baby was severely deformed, would not survive long after the birth. They had the choice of doing a cesarean. Is a cesarean where so the baby can be born. In other words, if the baby goes to the birth canal, it would die in the birth canal. The heart would be crushed. Mm. This is a long story. I'm not going to go into other details. And so the mother knew, carried the child for the full 9 months, mm-hmm. and had the cesarean so that she could see the baby alive, hold the baby while it was alive, knowing that it would survive at most an hour. And it, mm-hmm. in fact, it survived probably a little less than an hour. But we've had two recent. So I've been in 37 years in the priesthood. I've seen a number of situations where women, bore their children to birth. They bore them through the full 9 months into birth, knowing that there was going to be major defect and impending death, not an induced death, but a natural death. Mm-hmm. And they were advised to abort the babies, and they would not abort their children. They brought them to the full birth. And, you know, it's I remember one woman, three children. And I remember, you know, even as we made the ride to the cemetery, you know, and they carried the coffin of the child. And, you know, these women, you know, there are these very, very difficult situations. But when you consider the number of abortions, 63 million now?
A lot.
63 million.
Yep.
Since 1973, I think, is when Roe versus Wade was promulgated. 63 million in our country, in the United States of America. Those were not... women suffer. They bear this suffering through the whole of their lives.
That's many
of these
thing.
Women, and it's not that. And people say, "What's the church is making them, keeping them guilt-ridden?" No, the church is it's they find their consolation.
Yeah.
Their healing comes through the church, through the sacraments.
I wonder how many people really know that and they think about that when they're out there saying, oh, you're taking this away from me. Oh, you know, again, I wonder.
Well, we live in a bizarre world.
Yeah.
And as we were talking yesterday, even with the young people, they know well what's going on in the schools and how the children are being indoctrinated into all, you know, they're being very in a very explicit way, mm-hmm. being told how to have sex and in different ways with different people. Yeah, again, this whole trench, it's beyond. Are we really living in this reality right now? And do we not know what we're doing to the children?
You know, I think about this because years ago I would hear these things and I was naive. No, this is not happening. You're making this up. Oh, you're this or you're that. Now when you see it and you're seeing it at an accelerated rate, you wouldn't believe these things are happening until smack in your face, this is happening. And you hear the stories from different parents or different kids of what's going on in the schools.
Oh, my gosh. I listen to parents all the time and their kids, what their kids are up against. You know,
I could imagine.
Hey, well, let's pray, and then we'll go into this. Let's just pray.
Let's pray.
See where we go. We'll take a break, and then, boy, I'm going to get kicked out off the air.
Well, I'm going with
you. This is not my cup of tea right now. So in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, She conceived of the Holy Spirit. Conceived of the Holy Spirit. Interesting. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to take a quick break and then talk a little bit about Mother's Day, but we'll honor in a brief way the mother of us all, the Blessed Virgin Mary, which, again, it puts things into perspective, because the fact is we go away from God as we have no regard for the faith, we have no regard for life, because God is life. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the world doesn't revolve around me. It doesn't revolve around you. It doesn't revolve around one or another. All life is centered in God, revolves around God. We're made by God, for God. A child conceived in the womb of its mother is a child of God, created by God, for God. And nobody has a right to bring that life to its end. Nobody. It's amazing, isn't it, how people will defend the rights of the animals?
Yeah.
Which is a right, you know, it's a beautiful thing to do, but yet show enthusiasm for abortion.
Exactly.
Truly, is from the depths of hell. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio, Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Ever been to a Civil War reenactment? Booming cannons, rifle volleys, and lots of talk about history. Hi, I'm Father Tom Coyes, and I want to invite you to a Civil War reenactment. Check out historicstjames.org for information. Come to St. James at Sag Bridge in Lamont, Saturday, July 23rd, as Bishop Verrill of Virginia squares off with Bishop Purcell of Cincinnati. You'll be transported back to the 1860s to see two Catholic bishops deliver authentic Civil War era sermons about the War of Northern Aggression. Old Abe himself will be your host. Admission is free, but Lincoln's hat will be passed to help maintain this historic church. Burgers will be available for purchase before the play at 5 p.m. Visit historicstjames.org. See you on the 23rd at 7 p.m. And don't forget to check your musket at the door.
Here's something that you should know about what's happening at St. Stan's. The Daughters of St. Mary of Providence Religious Order operates the Providence Soup Kitchen on the premises of St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. The soup kitchen serves a midday meal Monday through Thursday from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Anyone who needs a meal is welcome. If you can volunteer to help and serve meals on a regular basis, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That's 773-870-2435. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And, yeah, Mother's Day is Sunday, so happy Mother's Day to all mothers. As we celebrate Mother's Day, we appropriately venerate and celebrate the Mother of us all, the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Gospel on Sunday, you know, you'll hear Jesus speak with great affection of the sheep who hear his voice and follow him. He promises they shall never perish. But to them he promises eternal life. I guess as I'm saying that, I'm thinking about what's going on right now. We should be emphasizing the fact that this is going to be overturned, but just to see the backlash, the evil backlash. All we want to do is defend, you know, life, give people the voice, an opportunity. In any case, we're blessed here in the heart of Chicago at the St. Stanislaus Kostka that the Mother of God has deemed us worthy to receive her, and I say this very sincerely. She's no doubt sprinkling the world with sanctuaries, because she knows the night is near and the day is far spent. As the great Marian Pope, St. Pope John Paul II, said in 1976, I bring this up often, he said, the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, the gospel and the anti-gospel, the Christ and the antichrist is upon us. It's upon us. That was said in 1976. The sheep are being snatched from the fold. When the Blessed Virgin Mary asked that the doors of our parish be left open, she expressed a motherly gesture to ensure that the sheep not be snatched from the fold of the shepherd. Her invitation to open the doors of this parish is a plea to restore her children to their proper place in the family of God. She opens the door to ensure that we all survive. And going back to what we were saying before the break, you know, to assume that that the church condemns women who have had abortion is absurd. It's like with all of us, you know, we sin, we repent. The church is the instrument of God's greatest attribute, which is mercy. And women are not, the point is that, and I've dealt with this all through my priesthood, women who have had abortion, who suffer this choice that they made, and at the time, it's always a difficult choice, well, for many, the ones that I've certainly spoken to, but they find their solace, their consolation, their hope is kept alive in the church because they understand, they recognize that Jesus, you know, from the cross, he cried, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He redeems, he saves, and he wishes to bring healing into the lives of these women. And so they find in the church the place where they can be, where they can survive, where they can survive. As the ancients of old survived in the time of great distress, having been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we too in our time survive the distress of life through participation in the sacred mysteries of our faith and through contemplation of the Holy Eucharist at the Ark of her Immaculate Heart. That's here in the parish. We are lifted up and renewed in victory. We become a light to others, a point and point to Christ and Our Lady, instruments of salvation to the ends of the earth. The Mother of God at the foot of the cross was the altar upon which the blood of Christ was spilled. She intimately and deeply participated in the redeeming death of her Son. In Mary, the prophetic utterances of Isaiah are fulfilled. Mother Israel, daughter Zion, in one moment's time, suffers the pain of labor and gives birth to children she never conceived. And so Jesus solidifies the family as from the cross he entrusts his mother to us and we to her. We are the mystical body of Christ, the family of God. We're bound and sealed together by the blood of the Lamb. And to us, a mission has been entrusted. Our mission is to keep the doors of this parish always open. That we were asked to open these doors is proof that the Mother of God is not frozen in the pages of sacred Scripture. The Blessed Virgin Mary is ever alive to console her children, giving them refuge from the wiles of the evil one and bringing them to right relationship with her Son, who is the door to the Father. So on this Mother's Day, as we venerate and celebrate the mother of us all, I would certainly invite anybody and everybody to be a patron of Our Lady. You know, help us to keep these doors open. We have people who don't, you know, the patrons of Our Lady are people who they don't donate $1,000 a year to the parish for the sake to help us to keep the doors open. And we've had the doors open now since 2008, we opened those doors on the Feast of the Visitation. 2008, they were shut only during the pandemic, the lockdown. We were forced to close the doors. There's no reason why those doors should have been closed. No reason whatsoever. As long as the doors are open, in hidden and quiet ways, lives are changed, healings conferred, and strength provided for the arduous work of life. This is not only about salvation at the end of all things, this is about salvation in the here and the now of our lives. So I guess as we're talking about this, I'm just deeply disturbed by this manifestation of evil, really. It's one thing to protest. It's another thing to voice one's opinion about the issue. But again, it's go back to that. What was it? The title of that article? Enthusiasm. This enthusiasm for abortion is from the depths of hell. It just bothers me to no end to hear it. It's pure evil. It's pure evil. How can women or men, because as men are involved in that as well.
Yeah.
But how can you look on look into the eyes of a child, a baby, and continue to? I can see, you know, certainly having empathy and compassion, and the need to accompany a woman who's going through a difficult pregnancy, or is help her to bring the child to full term. And you know, there's people out there who want children and aren't unable to have children. Cardinal George said, I'll never forget this, and we've all known people who have Down syndrome. I always think of Geralyn Sullivan's brother Tommy, mm-hmm. you know, and how that family, that beautiful family, very devout Catholic family, they pray the rosary daily, and they had a son, Rosemary, and her husband. He died. I never met the husband. Rosemary died just a couple of years ago, but it's really through their generosity that we have the radio studio.
Yeah.
But I remember them bringing Tommy. He had Down syndrome, and he would come and pray the Stations of the Cross with us. He'd come to Mass. He loved Christmas. He was in his, I think it was in his 40s when he died. Maybe it might have been his early 50s. I'm not quite sure. I don't remember. But he would come and they carried him everywhere, and he was a child. He loved the Christmas trees. He was most fascinated with the Christmas trees at Christmas time. In fact, they had a Christmas tree in his room always because he loved the Christmas tree. And so in his bedroom he had a Christmas tree. And but the cardinal said because there are fewer and fewer people with Down syndrome because they're aborted. When a woman finds out that her child has some kind of deformity, there's this, and I'm not saying in the case of all doctors, but this, abort the baby. And the cardinal said, this is absolutely chilling, because, you know, the gift that they bring to us, and it's not just Down syndrome; it's any kind of. I'm looking at the picture here of Max and Alex. My niece has two sons, Max and Alex. They both have a spinal muscular atrophy. So they don't have the use of their muscles. They have to be bound to a. They're super smart, very intelligent. They go to school, but they're invalids. You know, and they'll never walk. They have no use of their muscles. They type with. It's amazing what they can do now. Mm-hmm. What's provided for them now. They can type with their eyes, but they're. They've got two. My niece has two children. What a grace, what a blessing to the family, you know. at first a tragedy. You know, it's like, you know, how could this be and why? I remember my niece saying, because she's so devout, she's a very devout mm-hmm. Catholic. Her name is Tracy, and her husband is a very devout Catholic as well. He actually flies, it's a team of pilots that fly the president's plane, Air Force One and Air Force Two. And, but I remember, you know, I think I said it to Tracy, I said, why, when she found out her first son had SMA, and I said, you know, why you, you know, why did I say that? I don't know. It just seemed like she's such a good person, such a devout Catholic. And she said, why not me? Why not me? And that that stayed with me.
But is this not what the real term of carrying a cross is?
Oh, sure, yeah.
When we talk of sacrifice, which many don't want to talk about, they want to keep it nice and... But is this not living proof? And I think even when I hear, and dare I say to say this, and I said it, when you talk about people that are courageous, these are people that are never mentioned. You know, these are never, but we want to prop up people that we kind of think.
But you see that.
You see what I'm
saying? Yeah, but the I think the point is that what we discover is that this is... this is a gift. This is a blessing. I never forget a couple that they had a Down syndrome baby, and they were really, they didn't know until the baby was born that the baby had Down syndrome. This was years ago here at the parish. And I remember initially the baby was rejected. And I remember the grandmother, as a little, very petite woman, happened to be in the church, and she brought the child, this newborn baby with Down syndrome, brought the child to the image of the shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe, and entrusted the child to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Anyway, to make a long story short, the parents indeed, you know, they fell in love with the child. Yeah. The child did die young, died very young, but there was an immediate transformation on the part of the parents. In other words, we don't, as the cardinal said, Cardinal George, that when we discover that a child conceived in the womb of its mother has some kind of deformity, not going to be perfect, you know, and the advice is to abort. He said, it's absolutely chilling because. You know, this is God. There's a gift. There's a hidden gift. Their family, our family. I'm saying Tracy and her husband Aaron. Our family has been complete. I mean, I can't describe how we've been blessed by. And I rarely see them because I live in Chicago. They live in. In Maryland, right outside of Washington D.C., and but the point is it's a blessing, and you know, what happens? You discover you want a boy, but you've got a girl. You conceived a girl, so you know a boy. What did China do? You know, anyway. For some reason, just seem to not be.
Able to I didn't even think about that. What they do in China, and there's people here that you don't see that hypocrisy. I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know. We'll take a break and I'll wrap up with something else. But anyway, it's just I wonder how these angry people who are just. Livid, and they're calling for war, in defense of women against the right to life of a child conceived in the womb of its mother. I wonder how Do they can where do they see the Blessed Virgin Mary? Do they
I do not? They think
can't.
They, do.
They can't. They can't. Or God, even the president is something was really bizarre about. You know that this is it's God's right. That God, I don't remember. I just read it this morning, and I thought, really, is this what he said? He's a Catholic, and that God has given this right to the woman to decide. Anyway, we'll take a break. Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTM Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland WSFI. A Catholic radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Ever been to a Civil War reenactment? Booming cannons, rifle volleys, and lots of talk about history. Hi, I'm Father Tom Coyes, and I want to invite you to a Civil War reenactment. Check out historicstjames.org for information. Come to St. James at Sag Bridge in Lamont, Saturday, July 23rd, as Bishop Verrill of Virginia squares off with Bishop Purcell of Cincinnati. You'll be transported back to the 1860s to see two Catholic bishops deliver authentic Civil War era sermons about the War of Northern Aggression. Old Abe himself will be your host. Admission is free, but Lincoln's hat will be passed to help maintain this historic church. Burgers will be available for purchase before the play at 5 p.m. Visit historicstjames.org. See you on the 23rd at 7 p.m. And don't forget to check your musket at the door.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
the Winds of Change. All these years, you've been enjoying Winds of Change, Monday through Friday, on AM 750 WNDZ. And then, on Friday, you have to wait 2 days to hear Winds of Change? But take heart! Because now you can hear Winds of Change on Catholic Radio 88.5 FM WFSI for Northern Chicagoland. That's Saturday mornings at 10, except on first Saturdays. Now, don't you feel better?
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change as we kind of wrap up today. You know, I don't recall that I shared this with you, but one of the things that I'm during this Easter season, I've been looking at the book of Revelation, because actually that it's the part of the it's the second reading, I believe, in through all the Sundays of Easter, and I'm intrigued by this summons to John, who's imprisoned on the island of Patmos. But before we get into the whole the cosmic upheaval and the ensuing victory that comes at the as the world passes away and God's kingdom is ushered in, fully realized. But there's an urgent call that goes to John where Jesus says, you know, write what you've seen, what is happening, and what is yet to come. And if I've shared this with you before, you know, forgive me, I don't think that we've talked about this. But the appearance and the call to John were the beginning of a highly allegorical, mystical experience that brings closure to the Bible with John's writing the last book of sacred scripture, the book of Revelation. And John's mystical experience is interspersed with a cosmic upheaval that will violently shake the world, which is under the influence of forces opposed to Christ and his body, the church, as well as visions of the ensuing victory that brings falsehood, the devil and his minions, to a definitive end. The world will pass away and God's kingdom will be fully realized. Now, in the drama of the apocalyptic unfolding, We get several views of the church triumphant, already in heaven, quote unquote, a countless number of creatures surrounding the throne of God who cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Preceding this cosmic upheaval, evil and good, because he's in this cosmic upheaval, this the violence, the war, and there's this all he's taken into heaven as well. So there's evil and good, the war and the peace, the violence and the victory, all this that constitutes the last book of the Bible. There's this urgent call to John to speak to the seven churches. And the number seven represents the church, universal, Catholic, eternal, yet in battle. The church militant, that is, the church in the here and now of history, is praised and admonished simultaneously. Jesus through John. Did we talk about this?
No, I don't think so. This is interesting.
Jesus through John implores the church to authenticity in giving witness to the mission entrusted to the church by Almighty God. And it's interesting that this comes first before the cosmic upheaval, because the church has to bear witness to the world. Now, it's interesting because the Second Vatican Council states in the Constitution on the Church, and I quote, I feel like we just talked about this on the radio, maybe it was somewhere else I was speaking about this, but that the Church, embracing in its bosom sinners, at the same time holy and always in need of being purified, always follows a way of penance and renewal. The Church, like strangers in a foreign land, presses forward amid the persecutions of the world and the consolations of God, announcing the cross and death of the Lord until He comes. And of course, that is the Holy Mass, announcing the cross and death of the Lord until He comes. By the power of the risen Lord, it is given strength that it might, in patience and in love, overcome its sorrows and its challenges, both within itself and from without, and that it might reveal to the world, faithfully though darkly, the mystery of its Lord, until in the end it will be manifested in full light. That's a quote from the Second Vatican Council, the Constitution on the Church, which helps us to understand the church militant, we are in a battle. You know, the church triumphant is in heaven. But in any case, the first of the seven churches, the church in Ephesus, the Lord says, and I quote, He says, "I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate the wicked. You have tested those who call themselves apostles, but are not, and discovered that they are imposters. Moreover, you have suffered for my name, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You've lost the love you had at first. Realize how far you have fallen. Repent." The praises and admonishments are applicable to each and every one of us in our day and in our time. And we would do well to ask the question of ourselves, have we lost that early love which translates into passion for the things of God? Have we even known what it is to love God? In the gospel this past week, the risen Lord pulls Peter aside, and three times he will ask him, "Do you love me?" And each time Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And to this Jesus responds three times, "Feed and tend to my sheep." And we have to recall that on the night of Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, shortly thereafter, Peter was asked three times whether or not he knew Jesus. And three times he denied that he knew him. Three times he said, "I do not know who you're talking about. I don't know the man." He was asked three times he denied him. So the question, Jesus' question to Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter's response, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," are followed by this prophetic utterance of Jesus. The ramifications of Peter's love would bring him to suffer death in the same manner of Jesus. Peter's life ended in crucifixion, as you all well know. and he thus took his place among the church triumphant in heaven. Peter's love for the Lord was consumed by his passion to die rather than deny the Lord. And I don't know if you realize it. I feel like we talked about this.
We in parts, but we never...
Okay. I don't know if you realize it. Peter was crucified in a cemetery, and that cemetery was called the Vatican Cemetery. And he was crucified upside down, and he was buried there where he was crucified. And that became, when the church became legal, it was legal to be a Christian, the Basilica of St. Peter was built over the tomb of St. Peter. And so Vatican City was a cemetery. It was a cemetery, and Peter's body is directly beneath the main altar, beneath the baldacchino. Pretty deep down, you can go in and see it. It's they call it the Scavi excavations, and a lot of people don't know about it because they don't advertise it, because you only take small groups down there at a time. Mm-hmm. But you can actually see the tomb of St. Peter, and it says Petrus on the tomb. But anyway, it's just a side note there. But the world needs desperately to witness our love and passion for Christ and his body, the church. There's no denying the fact that we will be at enmity with the world and suffer on account of his name. This is something we have to prepare for. I think that's what the young people were saying yesterday, that this is a different time. They're young, but they're already saying this is a different time we're living in. We are going to be persecuted. We are going to be at enmity with the world. We are going to be hated on account of his name. As Jesus said, you're going to have trouble, but take courage and be at peace because I've conquered the world. So we have to be prepared for the battle. It's also true that authentic witness to the faith will awaken a multitude who are in search of truth and thus bring them to Christ and to his mystical body, the church. People see this. See all this. This is all being unmasked. The evil that is out there. It's very blatant now. It's just very in your face, and people they're looking for truth. And this is where we have to authenticate our lives. We pray for authenticity at a time when the strong temptation is to compromise the faith in order to appease the world, because you know that the world is very powerful in that regard, and somehow, if we can, I mean, as in the first reading we heard on Sunday, you know, in the Acts of the Apostles, the world gives us strict orders to stop teaching in his name. That's kind of what I see these protesters doing, you know.
Yes. It's,
you know, stop teaching in his name. But we got a reply like that of Peter and the apostles as they stood before the court officials, the court of officers and the Sanhedrin and the high priest. What did they say? They said, we must obey God rather than men. We cannot not speak in the name of Jesus. Like the saints of old, let us rejoice, as the scripture says, that we may be found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. That name is Jesus. We have to fall in love with God over and over and over again and have the passion that would bring us to die rather than deny him, to die rather than deny him. In other words, we've got to have the courage. We can't be timid. We can't be, we're the church militant. We're the church in the battle, and we've got to say, God, dear Lord, show us a way. Show us how to fight this battle and find ourselves sadly admonished by the Lord because we've hardened our hearts. This is a time when we've got to soften those hearts and let the Lord fight the fight in us and through us. For the greater glory of God, for the salvation, the sanctification of others, for the culture of life. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you, child.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The